Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, got quite a crew here today.
We most certainly do, and coming off another marvelous pad Thai lunch at the Thai place. So I'm energetic. I'm ready to go. This is going to be a fun segment. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Eugenia Johnson, PR director with the Garner Circle PR, and with Mike Savory, who is a product manager with Sage One. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this afternoon, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce media and communications manager with Scana Energy, Ms. Simone McKinney. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks very much. Great to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. What's happening with Scana? Any new developments? Where are you guys putting your energy these days?
Well, we've got lots of energy. We are, as most people probably know, a natural gas marketer, really a leading natural gas marketer in Georgia, and we've been around since 1998, since the beginning of deregulation. So with deregulation comes a lot of competition, so we are always trying to come up with something new, think outside the box, do all kinds of fun things.
So what have you thought of lately?
Well, on the community side, we have a contest running right now on our Facebook page where we're inviting our customers and Facebook fans to share their story of how they're involved in their communities. And we've received a lot of submissions, and we selected three, and they're on our Facebook page, and we're asking our Facebook fans to vote for their favorite submission, and they're all charity organizations, and then based on the one that our Facebook fans choose, we will donate $1,000 to that charity. So we have something with canines and something with kids. So a lot of people love that. So may the best charity win. I mean, they're all wonderful, but
that's going to be a lot of fun, though, just reading through all of those stories. I know, I mean, we enjoy our work because we get to have businesses come and tell their story, and we enjoy that. But to be able to see all of those entries, that's going to be a blast.
It's fun. It's fun. It's so rewarding, too, and we like to also thank our customers and spotlight them as well and see what they're doing in their communities. We give back to our communities. In fact, serving our communities is one of our corporate sacred, it's an acronym, values. So the S stands for serving our communities. So we believe in giving back. It's where we live and work, and want to give back to where we work and play.
Now, Scana, do you sell primarily to consumers, or do you go to businesses as well?
Absolutely. We sell residential, industrial, and commercial customers is who we sell to.
So how does that work? Do you have, like a team that goes out and knocks on the door and says, hey, I love what you're doing in your factory, and I know you're probably getting along okay, but here at Scana, we've got some interesting ideas on how we might serve. Would you be willing to sit down and explore those ideas? I mean, is it that fundamental and just that straightforward?
You got it. I mean, basically, yes. I mean, it's all about relationships. No, you'd be great at it, though. We'd love to have you.
I'd lead with the Facebook page.
Well, both of you. Join our team. yes, it's all about relationships, as you know, and networking, and because gas is gas, right? So what differentiates us from our competitors? So that's what our sales
force does. Now, see, that's interesting, because the product that
it can be perceived as a commodity.
It could be perceived, and I guess maybe it is.
It is.
The differentiator then is relation. I guess I never really thought about that. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to really differentiate it.
Exactly, yes, because we're a marketer, so we market to approximately 460,000 customers, actually.
Wow.
So, yeah, and what we pride ourselves on is our customer service, our variety of competitive rate plans that we have, and, again, our commitment to our community. But what the sales force goes out and explains are the factors that I mentioned, trustworthiness, reliability, and why should someone come to us versus another person? We've been around since the beginning as well, so we're here to stay.
Well, and you got to have you want to build the kind of relationship so that if I get the mailer in next week and it's a penny less from the next provider, then I'm not jumping ship because I want that relationship with Scana and Joe, and I know they're going to take care of me and that kind of thing.
You got it. Yes, on the business side and certainly residential as well. If your neighbor, friends, family, they say, hey, I'm with Scana. Everything's great, we hope. And if not, give us a call. We'll try to help.
Now, is the trend businesses are using natural gas more and more? Is that since when? I don't. I mean, it feels that way, but I don't know the first thing about it. Is it growing, the trend for natural gas?
We like to think so. I mean, it's a clean burning, fuel efficient fuel source. So there are many advantages to have natural gas over electric, and we've seen that from the recent storms as well. What happens with electric? But yes, I mean, Atlanta Gaslight actually is responsible for growing the homes and businesses who have gas to actually install the pipelines in those facilities. There are, I believe, about 1.5 million customers on the natural gas distribution system in Georgia.
Now, if somebody wanted to switch, could they have a conversation with one of your people and then you would coach them on what equipment? It's not that simple, right? It's not just flipping a switch, is it?
Well, you're right in that if someone wants to switch to us, we have that conversation. But in terms of turn-ons and offs, that's still Atlanta Gaslight's responsibility. Uh-huh. The market deregulated in 98. So prior to that, Atlanta Gaslight did everything. So they maintained the pipelines. They provided the billing services, everything. And we do everything except maintain the pipelines and turn gas on and off. But we are responsible for making sure that gas is turned on or off through AGL. So people give us a call. In fact, today, the 19th, just happens to be, where people can put in their market switch to be effective the first of the following month. So for today, it would be April 1st.
So on the commercial side of the business, is there an educational component to the sales and marketing? Because I'm running my manufacturing line a certain way, and I'm using pneumatics for some things and electricity for other things. Mm-hmm. And maybe someone that knows what they're doing can say, hey, I can save you money, time, something, if you use gas for this, that. And there's an educational component to that side, right?
There absolutely there is. And a lot of our salespeople actually came from Atlanta Gaslight. So that's the benefit there of having all that knowledge. And, extremely knowledgeable and willing to educate people and maybe, you know, give them energy saving tips or what they can do with their water heater or whatever it may be, and to try to help in that way. And try to keep costs down for them, and obviously we're a for-profit organization, but you know, we that's how we work with our customers, and that's how we also ultimately win the business.
Now, what can you share a little bit about a day in your life? Like, what do you spend your time doing?
when people ask me, you know, describe your typical day, I actually don't have one, which I really like. I've been working with Scan Energy for about 12 years now, and there's not one day that's the same. I never know what's going to happen. Because I handle media and community relations. So from the media side, I could get a call from a reporter any day about any issue. I'm also proactively reaching out to talk about our homework centers, which are after-school programs that Scan Energy funds at Title I schools, to managing our Facebook page or Twitter account.
So you're charged with maintaining all of the social media of Scan Energy just here in Atlanta or everywhere?
Statewide, yes.
Oh, through Georgia?
Through Georgia, yes. But our headquarters are in Buckhead.
So this focus, this commitment to community, is this like a strategic shift that's happened in the last few years, or was it just part of the culture from day one? Is it inherited from Atlanta Gaslight? Where does come from?
Day one, it's Scan Energy's philosophy. I mean, it's basically, as I mentioned, the value, the S for sacred values is serving our communities. And then I can go through the rest. A is for achieving. C is communicating openly and honestly. R is respecting each other. E is excelling. And the D is for do what's right. So that ties back into serving our communities and doing what's right and making sure that we focus on as many charitable causes as we can. Of course, we can't do everything, but we do focus on three top areas of education, the environment, and health. I mean, the environment also because we're obviously a natural gas, we have a natural gas product, and so with that, actually, Earth Day is coming up on April 22nd, as you know, so we're involved with the Earth Day activities as well.
For our listeners, you can't tell, but here in the studio, just so you know, it's not like she pulled out a wallet card from her purse and rattled off text. I mean, these are things that are ingrained. This is part of your culture.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, it's really embraced from the top down. So from a CEO to to all levels of employees and then back up again. I mean, it's really, it's not a plaque that hangs on the wall or it's just, you know, something check the box. It's something that we really believe in, and that and we hear a lot from our customers that they appreciate that, because all things being equal, when you're looking at what the per therm rate is of or your gas bill, and it may be a little bit higher sometimes, you know, and you think, wow, well, you know, they're giving back to their community, you know, my father died of a heart attack, they support the American Heart Association, so you know, I'll go with Scana.
Is it hard to choose, and are you part of that, or is there some board or something? Because there's so many good causes.
That's right.
So in one sense, I would think it would be a very rewarding responsibility.
It is. Yeah.
And I think you would also, like, cringe, like, oh, I wish I could get them all. Is that hard?
It is hard. It's difficult. But what helps prioritize are these three focus areas that have been determined to actually really focus on. Because otherwise, you want to say yes to everybody, and so you just have to pick and choose. But yeah, it's something we look at very seriously, and hope that we can continue to do as long as we're able to.
Now, can you share a little bit about the after-school homework program?
Sure. Thanks for asking about that. So they're programs that are Title I elementary schools, and basically the teachers who teach at those schools stay to help students with their homework assignments and also focus on math and English, and Scan Energy pays the teacher salaries and snacks and incentives for the students. Yeah, so we have that operates three days a week, 2.5 hours a day.
Wow, so you fund that in multiple schools?
We do, yes, throughout Georgia. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is a great program.
Yeah.
See,
Well, but I think maybe people don't know about it. I'm sure a lot more of them know about it now because you're out there trying to make that happen. But I think it just goes back to our original premise and why we enjoy our work so much. There's so many businesses are out there doing such great things for the community, the market, the profession, and I mean, we got to let people know this stuff.
Right.
That's fantastic. I got to know more about your backstory.
Thank you. Yes.
You talked about 12 years back. You've been doing this for like 12 years, but give us a little insight into your backstory, how this all got started for you personally.
Okay. Well, I've been in the public relations business for a couple of decades now, and and I've worked nonprofit and for profit, everything from doing PR for the Ritz-Carlton, some more glamorous, to the '96 Paralympic Games, to gas. I mean, my friends and family kind of joked, "Really, gas? Like, what do you do with that?" but therein lies the challenge: it's making something literally out of nothing. I always like to say, you know, it's you can't see it, you can't touch it. If you smell it, it's too late. Right. So, and the fact that we're in a competitive marketplace makes it really interesting and rewarding. Always trying to come up with something different.
But I got to believe there's tremendous room for growth, particularly on the commercial side. Just there's so many commercial applications where it's better for everyone concerned to modify their operations to convert to natural gas. Everything from the transportation to moving the materials around, to transporting employees, to running machinery and backing up into the supply chain, all the way to the people that are making the machinery that bottles the Coke or whatever, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And compressed natural gas vehicles as well. Just that's now the trend.
Is that
area
growing?
Yes. CNGs, yes, it is growing. Mm-hmm.
So companies that have fleets of trucks, they might be interested
they
in switching over?
Absolutely. They should, yes. Give us a call.
So what do you need more of, and how can we help? Do you want to look for additional organizations to partner with and support? Are you looking for additional people to help you get the word out and market services? And what do you need, and how can we help?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking, and it's again such an honor to be here. It's so nice to have this forum and for you to offer how you can help. Well, all of the above, but especially just have people sign up with Scana Energy, and the ones who are with us, we appreciate it, and hope they'll stay. But we're always looking to get a bigger piece of the marketplace. So.
Well, I can certainly give you a testimonial from the use. I have thoroughly enjoyed. My wife and I, we have a pretty nice kitchen, and we're not gourmets or anything like that, but we're willing to experiment.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, having gas in this home makes that cooking much easier. And I'm operating under the impression, I would suspect most professional kitchens yes. are probably gas, right?
Yes, yes.
It's just a whole different level of cooking, right?
That's right. I mean, my bias aside, that's what we hear from chefs all the time. And of course, it tastes better too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Endorsed by Chef Stone. That's right. Yeah. Gas.
Yes, we appreciate it.
Now, this Facebook page, do we know that URL off the top? I mean, we'll definitely post it on the website. But if
thank
you know
you.
The
yeah, it's Scan Energy, facebook.com/scanenergy.
Well, that's easy enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And same with your Twitter, right?
Twitter, yes, exactly, Lee. And then we've also got a YouTube page, and that's actually Scan Energy GA for Georgia, Scan Energy GA. So we post a lot of our community activities on our YouTube page, and our Twitter account is primarily for customer service issues. So if anybody has any question, need help, any issues
isn't
at all.
Isn't that interesting how that's changed now? Companies, customer service,
yes.
through Twitter
it's
now?
It's through Twitter, right, right. And then also the Facebook, it's like, who wants to be friends with a gas company? But actually, we've got about 12,000 fans, so hey.
Wow, yeah. Good for you.
And then do you have somebody or a group of somebodies that are hanging out at Scanna headquarters?
She's the somebody.
Well, I'm wondering, because all this stuff's coming in,
help.
Right?
Yes.
You need somebody,
yes.
like, looking, and if you yes. see something trending... good, bad, or indifferent, you need right. to get on top of that and address it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, well, we have a team to actually... Cool. Yeah, it's not just me. No. I can't take all the credit. We've got a great team working on that.
Well, yeah. It has been an absolute delight
thank
having
you.
You on the show. And I think it would be fun maybe to bring someone from one of these organizations that you guys are helping out, one of these nonprofits.
Sure.
And or like a commercial... customer and talk about how they converted over and why
right,
and the
maybe,
benefits.
Is there a fleet company you guys work with local?
I'd have to check with my colleagues on that one, the sales team, but great opportunity.
But couldn't we do like an energy roundtable or something and just talk about that and switching over and the impact that it's had and then how and then the commitment to community? I just think it'd be
I love that idea.
Segment.
I
you
love
for that
idea. Absolutely.
All right,
yes.
we'll have you back.
Thank
in
you.
The meantime,
thank you.
You gonna hang with us while we visit with our next guest?
Sure. Look forward to it.
All
thanks
right.
so much for having me.
Yeah. Sure. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us, as promised, Lee, product manager with Sage One, Mr. Mike Savory. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted to have you as well. Did you learn anything in that last segment?
I've never thought so much about gas.
Hopefully all good, right?
So tell us a little bit about the day in the life of a product manager at Sage One. What do you do with your time during the day?
A day in the life. Well, what I would like to do and what I actually do sometimes is very
good. I hear you.
What I would like to do is talk to our customers and find out what they think about our products. But what I do, you know, there's a lot of minutia just like anyone's job. But no, I love it. It's, product manager is a great mix of technology, customers, and just finding solutions to problems. I mean, that's basically what we do is we try to find solutions that our customers will value.
And Sage, what is your service and product that you sell?
So Sage is a global company. We've been around for a long time, and thankfully, you know, through the work of our marketers and PR folks, it's a lot more recognized in the U.S. and North America than it had been in the past. Very big in Europe. We've been around for more than 30 years, and we have...
Is it a European company?
It's based in the U.K., yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep, Sage Group, PLC, and we have locations in 24 different countries, but about half of our customers are in North America.
And it's software or software as a service?
It is. It's both. So traditionally, it's been software. We're very big in desktop software. We have business management solutions for small to mid-sized businesses of all different types. But we have software, services, online software, and all the support to go with it.
And that's for accounting?
It is, yep.
Primarily so, or only?
Yep. Everything from accounting to ERP, payroll, HR, payment services, so when you take credit cards, to fixed asset management, you know, it's quite a range.
So, well, given that, then are there specific verticals that this really lends itself to, or is it pretty much for? Yeah, speak to that.
Yeah, definitely. So, I work on a product called Sage One, which is fairly new in terms of the products that Sage offers, and it's an online small business accounting and invoicing product. So. Yeah, to answer your question, definitely. This product is really focused on the entrepreneur, the very small business.
So like a solopreneur, somebody that's, you know, maybe they were in corporate America, then they're doing their own consulting firm or something, and
exactly.
this helps them with their billing, maybe invoicing.
Like, yeah. I got to send a couple invoices to Simone because we said some real nice things about Scana, right? So I could get on the system,
crank out
the invoice, bada boom, bada bing.
I'll get you a deal, absolutely. No, I mean, so if you look at a small business, a startup, someone who's getting started for their first time, what are they concerned about? They're concerned about getting paid, right? I mean, that's one of the first things.
That's kind of important.
Yeah. So they're not exactly looking at drilling down through all of the numbers on a financial statement, but they do know that they need that income to be greater than that outgo. So they need to send invoices, and they need to get paid. And that's really what we focus on, but we do the full range of small business accounting.
But so it'll... You can import your bank statements and stuff like that, and everything works together?
Yeah, I mean, what we really try to do is make it as automatic as possible, because as soon as you have to start thinking about these steps in running your business...
Yeah, you're not going
to
do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a graphic designer or a PR person or a landscaper, you want to do those things that got you into business, right? You don't want to be sitting there. It's kind of like gas, right? I mean, we don't want to think about the accounting or the gas. We want to get to the business at hand. Yeah.
So for people that are running small businesses, you're making it where the terms are probably a pretty attractive interface where it's easy to drag stuff around and move it, and I don't have to have the accounting degree to do it.
Right. And what we're accounting geeks sometimes, those of us in product management, those who create the software, and we think about all the calculations and the cool features and stuff. But when we go to customers and we ask them, what do you want, the first thing – to your point, is they ask, I need something easy. I need something that I understand. I'm not an accountant.
Like a McDonald's cash register with pictures. You
right.
Know,
something very simple. Exactly. No, that would be great. Idea, no, we were just talking about this before lunch, and taking a credit card payment from like an underwriter.
Right.
If they pay us X, I know I've also got to pay a little merchant fee over here. I don't know how to do that, and I wish I could just... throw it on some icon that says, this is a credit card thingy.
So it knows where
and it knows
what bucket to put it all in.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of the things. You know, we've spent so much time with small businesses, just sitting down with them in their offices, watching them, which is not as creepy as it sounds.
Sounds pretty creepy.
Yeah, it sounds a little threatening.
They know we're there. So we watch them, and we watch them struggle with running business day to day. And one of the things that they're not aware of because they don't have a system in place is, where is my money going? You know, what are all these categories? At the end of the month, why am I left with this number?
Why is miscellaneous the largest category?
That's right. That's right. And it drives accountants crazy. So we try to provide a system where that stuff, you think about that stuff as little as possible, right? I mean, it sounds strange, but ideally you would use our product as little as possible so you can get back to work.
Right.
So how about, okay, so we've established that this is probably a pretty good product for the Lee and Stones of the world. How about that next level? You know, maybe they didn't get a CPA or an accounting degree, but maybe they're running a neat little bookkeeping service.
Right.
Are they also a good tier for you? Like, they might use Sage One, and I might be paying them to be my bookkeeper. One of the reasons I am is because they've got Sage One.
That's right. You know,
it's like having the Carfax, right?
Yes.
Like, oh, you got Sage One? I'll do business with you.
No, and that's our hope, and that's our goal, absolutely. I mean, we're encouraged by the fact that of our customers, about 70% of them have a relationship with an accountant, which is what we want. Uh-huh. And Sage, likewise, has a great relationship with a huge network of accountants and CPAs, and they use our products and love them. And we even have an accountant's edition of Sage One. So to your point, Stone, an accountant can log in and actually access the same data that their client is working with, so there's no sending back and forth of papers or, you know, hard copies of things.
Do the accountants ever say to the client, go, you know what, here's I'll pay for the Sage One for you.
Yes.
Right, here's my fee. Yeah. Just roll that into it.
Right, because that way they're getting it in the manner they need it.
Yeah, I mean, that we love that. That's a
Does
ringing
that
endorsement for us is when the accountant says, this is valuable enough to me. It makes my job easy enough that I insist that you use it. And sometimes,
but does that ever happen? Or
it does. It does. Absolutely. So we have a full range of desktop accounting products. The homegrown product here, Sage 50, which used to be known as Peachtree Accounting Software, we have an accountant edition of that product as well, and with a huge accountant network following. And they do exactly that. They recommend it. They include it as part of their service oftentimes. Yeah.
Well, I would think your sales and marketing people, they'd wear out the soles on their shoes if they were to track down every Lee and Stone. But if they were to build relationships and cultivate relationships with other professionals, accountants that are serving the Lees and the Stones out there, is that
might
how
be
the
a
sales,
multiplier, I guess.
Is that how the sales and marketing thing works
it is.
In your world?
And you'd be surprised. I mean, awareness is the biggest factor, so you're absolutely right. And we did a survey recently where we focused in on the invoicing and payment side of the business because we built this product and we found that most people use the invoicing part the most, to my point earlier.
Sure.
And we asked, well, okay, how did you do invoicing previously? And 71% used Word or Excel, so they used a manual system. And then we asked a question, okay, are you aware of a solution that does this, that sends invoices, collects payments, makes this job easier? And more than 70% said, no, I'm not aware of it. So that's why they're using the manual system, and that's why, as much as I hate to admit it as a product guy, our marketing folks really have the biggest challenge, which is getting the word out.
They have to educate.
They do.
It's more of an education, because once a person understands this exists, then it's probably a no-brainer at that point.
Very easy sell, yeah.
Now, walk us through what it's like for that entrepreneur that has the system. You mentioned the person who has Word. So in Word, they're typing out, but probably they're copying last month's invoice and then erasing the numbers and then putting the right numbers in.
That's right.
And then just emailing it to them as an attachment. So what happens in your system?
Well, so again, getting back to when we sit and watch business owners do this and we watch them copy and paste, and it's...
Isn't that what they typically do?
They do. You described it exactly right. I mean, it's painful.
Amazing. I've done that before.
Yeah. I mean, as a technologist...
It wasn't a guess.
You know, I have to sit there and watch this and try not to make suggestions, right? Because I'm just trying to extract what the problem is. But you're right. Copying, pasting. And so in another one of our surveys, one of the top reasons they looked for our solution was because of the fear of errors
making
that they're
mistake,
making.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's a lot of manual process, and there's, as a result, much wasted time.
Say that I'm the landscaper, and now I have an invoice to somebody's home for, you know, $100.
Yep.
Now, how what do I do with your system? How does that work now?
So you just go in, you put in the customer's name. Maybe they're new or maybe they're existing. So you just type
and
a few letters.
And if they're existing, then it populates.
Yep, populates their info. You type in if you use like a product code or something for the service.
Right.
And in pops the rate or the price. You hit send. It sends it by a PDF email attachment.
So it already knows where to send it because it's already in there.
Yep, you can fill in all the defaults.
And it'll just email an invoice.
Emails it out. It even has a link where the customer can pay it online. And then what happens then, we talk about automatic, is the payment gets recorded in your books, and you know the transaction is closed at that point. The invoice is marked as paid. The customer has a copy of the paid invoice, and you don't have to do anything.
Now, what if they send a check or they mail some payment?
Sure.
Then what happens then?
Well, then there's an extra step for you, so that's why.
So now I get the payment, and then you know I have the bank app, so I take a picture of the thing, I deposit it, then I have to go back into where the invoice is and do something?
Yeah, you can, or you know, we link with thousands of different banks, so when that transaction clears, then you can just match it to the invoice, and it's marked as paid, and there's one fewer step.
So the bank and the thing is talking to each other? Let me ask you about cloud. Do you have you can have this in the the computer, but you can it's also can be out on the cloud, right?
Yeah, this is entirely cloud based, so access it from anywhere. Which is it's interesting now over the last few years where cloud has become expected among small businesses in particular. You know, when we talk about this product with small businesses and we propose it and. It's they don't even ask, is this something I install or is it something I log
now
into?
Now it's assumed.
They're just,
they
it's
assume
assumed,
it's in the cloud.
It really is, yep.
So your business has changed. I guess several years ago it wasn't in the cloud, and it was you'd have to buy software, and then the next year it would be update because there's new rules, so you got to buy it again.
That's right. Yep.
So now you can just pay a monthly fee. Is that how it works?
You can, and that's not to say that everyone prefers cloud. I mean, we still have a huge following of customers who use our desktop products and for varying reasons. And so we provide desktop, we provide cloud, we even provide hybrid solutions where you can have a cloud-based front end to your desktop product. But yeah, I mean, the advantages of cloud are numerous. It's always backed up. It's accessible from anywhere. You get the updates automatically.
Right.
So it's a service, really, rather than a product.
Now, is this something that... if I know nothing, right, I'm a new person with the business, how quickly can I get up and running, or do you have webinars or classes or something that makes it easy, or do you come to my house and you show me what to do? How does that work, the training and the getting ready to use this?
Yeah, I think one of our competitive advantages over a lot of the startup products out there that are in the same category is that we have actual human beings who answer phones. So you can, yeah, imagine that.
That is
amazing. I've heard of that. I've never seen it in practice.
And they sit in offices right down the hall from me. I mean, they're local. So, yeah, I mean, you can call and we can walk you through it. We can show you exactly where to put the numbers in and how to get started. We have webinars. We have online chat. You can email us. So there's numerous ways to get started with it.
And what's a common, like, does somebody ask you, like, hey, I got this, what bucket does this go in? Or is that, are you going to say go to my accountant? Or do you give help in that area as well?
We do give help in that area. Another survey result, I love statistics, we asked, okay, where do you go for solutions, you know, when you're looking to get started with your business? This was in a recent survey that Sage published last year. And software was one of the top results. It was 83% said they go to software for help and solutions. So it's not just the product. They're looking for expertise, and we can provide that. So in answer to your question, yeah, one of the common questions is, what is a chart of accounts, right? I mean, we try to use very simple layman's terminology within the product, but we do also try to educate so that you recognize terms like chart of accounts and you know what it means to your business.
So in that last segment, we spent quite a bit of time talking about community and commitment to community. Mm-hmm. That was not a foreign conversation to you. You guys are pretty invested in Atlanta community as well. So speak to that a little bit, if you will.
Yeah, very much. I mean, we're a global company, you know, a big company, but we spend, at least for this product, certainly a lot of time locally with business owners. We go out on site to their offices, to their homes where they work, and listen to them and get feedback. We have panel discussions.
Do you have like users groups?
We have user groups.
Really?
Yeah, we do user testing. We've got a usability lab in our office where we have people come in. We do it by phone. So a lot of contact with local Atlanta businesses.
And how do you integrate yourself in the business community? Are you involved in any associations or any groups?
We attend a lot of events. So meetups and we went to a TechCrunch meetup a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was just great. We talked to just hundreds of attendees there. Is very well
are
attended.
Are startups important to you?
Startups, definitely. We've gone to the Startup Riot event and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So meeting with them face-to-face and talking a lot about the issues that they face, finding out about their awareness of solutions like ours. Yeah.
Where can our listeners go to learn more?
They can go to sageone.com. So sageone.com, they can just sign up for the product. There's a free trial there. Check it out. You'll see on our site where there's, you're talking about social media earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter. My email address and phone is on there as well. So give us a call. I mean, we'd love to hear the feedback as much as anything.
Now, you're product manager of Georgia, Atlanta. The product all over the country?
The product for North America. So Sage One is available in 9 different countries, and so I'm one of the product managers for the North America region.
So Sage One is based here in Atlanta? North America?
Yeah, it's for the U.S. It is based in Atlanta. We also have a Canadian version of the product, and that's based in our Vancouver office. So we have a development team, and we work very closely with them as well.
And is that because of your involvement with the Peachtree Accounting?
It is. So I used to work on the formerly Peachtree, now Sage 50 accounting product. Yep. And transitioned over to Sage One. Yeah.
And what's next? The savory edition of Sage One?
I like it. I get ribbings about that because I have savory and I work for Sage. It's a very herbal type thing. We have a very heavy roadmap of because we get so much feedback, which is great from our customers. They love the product and they love to tell us what they would like to see next, and we love to respond to it. So we have all kinds of things, a new mobile version of the product. We have improvements to the invoicing version of the product, additional options for online payments. We're looking at solutions for larger businesses. So when customers use our product, they start out small, they grow.
Yeah, that's right.
They need something to grow with them. And so we're going to.
So you have a solution for that as well?
We're working on a solution for that as well, yeah.
And what size company does that begin at?
Well, our average customer today has 3 or fewer employees, so very small. And we service with the Sage One product today in the 0 to 9 employee range.
Mm-hmm.
So once they start to get larger than that, it's really it's not so much about the number of employees. It's about the maturity and complexity of your business. So once you start getting more complex requirements and processes, then you might need to move up to a product like our Sage 50.
Right.
But if you don't want to move to a desktop product, that's why we want to have a cloud-based solution for you. So that's what we're working on now.
But we want to share this story not only within users, the small business person, but we touched on this early in the conversation. We want to share this story with the professional services organizations and firms that serve small business. They need to know about you guys and at least have a conversation with you about that, because that's the multiplier, I think, was the word you used earlier, Lee.
So it's CPA firms, those are referral sources for you, are like the payroll services referral sources?
Yeah, I mean, we have our own payroll service. But
so you have that internally?
We do. And we've worked with everything from co-location, network companies, as well as work sharing type businesses, to professional organizations, to schools. We found that working with colleges and universities, where the next group of CPAs that are coming up need to be aware of our solution. They need to be aware of a diverse range of solutions, but certainly ours in particular.
So, I'm vice president of special edition design here at Business Radio X, because my wheels are turning, because I'm always thinking, what would be another great segment?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, as we're talking, maybe you and somebody like a CPA that's had a lot of success working with you, it's helped him get clients, it's helped him serve clients, and either their client or maybe another client that is just a pure small business just doing it on their own. I don't know. I just think it could make for an interesting segment.
That's right. It really could, because, again, when we talk about, we try to make the life of a business owner easier. But, again, they want to get out and get to landscaping and doing the things.
Yeah, practice their craft.
Yeah. So they want to hand off a lot of that to their CPA. That's what they get paid for. So the next question on our list is, how do we make the life of the CPA easier?
Right.
How do we make the data flow back and forth between the client and the CPA as easy as possible?
So now, do you have somebody here in town that refers your product to their clients?
Well, we have a large network of accountants, that's listed on our website. And so
you do your best to promote them, because that's good for you, right?
We do. Wow, we say, if you need help with our product or if you need help with business accounting in general, then here are some people that we know and trust.
All right. Well, if we get your PR person to sign off on it, we'll have you back.
That'll
be fun.
That sounds great.
All right. So one more time, coordinates where our listeners can go to learn more, get the conversation started.
Yeah, sage1.com. You can follow us on Twitter at sage1NA for North America. Same address for our Facebook site.
Fantastic. Hey, listen, hang out with us while we visit with one more guest.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Okay, Lee, it's time for the headliner.
All right.
She's been
patient. Excited.
She's been polite. I think she's even been taking some notes. She didn't laugh at me when I spilled water in my lap halfway through.
I did.
Savory. I know you laughed and I went off mic, but you were very kind. Please join me in welcoming PR Director for the Garner Circle PR, Eugenia Johnson. How you doing, Sunshine?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are delighted to have you. So you must be eating all this up from a PR perspective, right? As you hear both of these stories, you got to want to say, here's how we could go out and let the world know, right?
The wheels are turning. As you mentioned earlier, yes, definitely.
So tell us a little bit about this outfit, the Garner Circle PR.
Yes, so the Garner Circle PR is a boutique agency here in Atlanta. We work, we're a full-service public relations firm. We do lifestyle marketing, event planning, media relations. We work with corporate brands as well as your smaller businesses as well.
Now, is it mainly a B2C, B2B? Do you have a sweet spot or all of them?
We mainly work with business to consumers,
mm-hmm.
Especially with their consumer engagement, event lifestyle activations. So we do a lot of that, as well as business to media. So it's really depending on what the client needs are at that time.
What is business to media?
Well, as far as media relations and getting the company, getting their name in front of the newspapers, getting their name in front of the editors so they can do product reviews on the company of their service, and to because they're the middleman to the consumer.
Right.
So once you build those relationships with the media, they can in turn relay that to their audience as well.
Now, are you seeing a trend in some of these consumer products where they're you can buy a subscription in a box of different samples of stuff? You see, that's kind of new, right?
It, I believe it started to take off maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, and ever since then, it's been everywhere. I mean, you've seen boxes that is strictly for hair products.
Right. It could be men, women, anything.
Exactly. Like Curl Box, and then you have Birch Box for beauty. And then I believe I saw one that's for dogs, too.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's kind of cool. Do you ever get any of your clients in there?
Yes, definitely. Strength of Nature is one of our hair care brands. So they handle the brands for African Pride, Hair Care, Beautiful Textures, Elastic QP. And we definitely get them as many of the hair box subscriptions, as the one I mentioned earlier, like Curl Box.
So I know we could dedicate a whole channel or show to this topic, but I want to get a little insight, and it has to do with trade shows.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to do more and more work. I mean, most of our work is in studio, but we're starting to hit the road a little bit and be the booth for clients. And so it's a world I haven't seen much of, but we're in Vegas next month. We're in D.C. What insight, if any, if you had a client who was going to be at a trade show, I don't know, maybe your first piece of advice is don't go. Because I think a lot of them don't get their return, right? But have you had much experience with that world? And what advice, if any, do you have in helping someone design a practical trade show strategy that gives them some kind of decent return on that?
Yes, a lot of our clients do trade shows with the hair care companies, with some of the tech companies that we work with, just depending on their industry. The great thing about the trade shows is that you get to build direct relationships and connections with either the buyers who may be interested in buying your service, as you mentioned, business to business.
Right.
Some of the trade shows you have consumers, the end consumers, are actually invited to come out. So it's a way to have that on-site point of touch connection with those main people that's going to be buying and purchasing your product.
All right, so it's at least you're fishing where the fish are, I guess.
Right?
But I
exactly.
got to tell you, I'd be perfectly candid with you. We've been there doing our interviews, and we've looked across the carpet, and we've seen people in matching shirts throwing the squishy ball back and forth for hours while we're interviewing people and things are buzzing on our side of the carpet. So there are people that are not getting their return.
It's very busy. It's very competitive, as you're mentioning, for attention. And it gives you that opportunity to really stand out. What ways, and that's kind of where we come in as far as the event planning logistically and creatively, to see how the client can stand out to their consumers and to those the attendees at that conference, so they're memorable.
And when this back to what Savory was saying earlier, if you're practicing your craft, you don't want to be an accountant. So if you're in this situation, you might have a great company that makes hair care products,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want to try to become a trade show expert. I mean, it's good to get some professional counsel. And guidance on it. And,
mm-hmm.
and what you're going to do for booth 367 may not be what you do for booth 455, right? It could be two different strategies.
Correct. It depends on the client. But as far as the PR agency, we do handle most of that logistics. Of course, we'll contract for different vendors as far as the booth design and the visual aspect of it, as well as the booth build out of it. But most of that is the PR agency, we handle it all. I guess from the aspect of the client doesn't want to do all of that.
Yeah.
So then they'll contract the agency to kind of help facilitate
they'll
some
contract
of those.
It. They'll say, look, we got to get to these people. If we don't go to Vegas, you know, we're conspicuous in our absence. We have to show up. So and they say, okay, help us think through what to do while we're there.
Exactly.
And everything from the physical elements to what
to, the messaging points, if they're speaking, if they want to tie in celebrity talent to come by, again, making that brand memorable there, especially somebody that's going to make sense to the audience.
I can get you a Sage One guy for a great deal.
Awesome. Come along.
Now, what's a mistake you see that businesses who don't hire PR agencies make? And that you're frustrated, you're like, man, if they would have hired us, we would have been able to really help them.
More so their branding.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people try to handle it all, and as you were mentioning earlier, you just can't. You have so many hats to carry already as an entrepreneur, all the way up to the CEO of a big, huge Fortune 500 company. And a lot of times you just can't handle it all. You can't be everywhere at the same time, from doing consumer handling consumer complaints on social media.
We were talking about that earlier, right? With the scanner, that's important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, you have to handle the social media because it's 24 hours. Mm-hmm. A crisis can happen at any time.
Right.
Just going like for branding, like I was mentioning earlier, you want to make sure that when you you have the best foot out on your company, and the people are able to see that, they're able to understand your messaging and what your company stands for.
Now, are there any, you mentioned some of the niches you're in. Is there anything that going forward you're going to be looking to explore?
We do fashion, beauty, lifestyle. We work with a lot of corporate branding as well. We're moving into the technology space. We actually just left SYSW a few weeks ago, and we're opening a new office in Charlotte. So,
wow. Oh, cool. Are you based here in town?
We are based in Atlanta. We work out of New York and LA, but Charlotte is going to be our new focus for this
exciting.
Upcoming year.
And a real focus on energy and software.
Yes, right. Yes, definitely.
So what is this Power Plug PR conference? Is that related to Scana? Are you guys sponsoring the Power Plug PR?
I'll need to check on that.
We can discuss that after, offline. But yes, the Power Plug PR conference is a conference that is something that's going to be accessible to your budding PR professionals, people that are already seasoned in the industry or would like to transition into the industry. It's open to students, professionals, in any way connected to the communications.
Are you guys driving that or you're just part of it?
Yes. It's a brainchild of the Garner Circle brand.
Mm-hmm.
Our first inaugural year was last year in 2013. It was amazing. Students are able to really get that hands-on connection with the professionals. We're able to fill a void in training in that they don't get either professionally or academically, because a lot of times in school, you're not really learning the most up-to-date information that's really going to prepare you to get that job
life experience helps a lot, huh?
Exactly. So the Power Plug conference helps with that void and helps with connecting the professionals with those students and building those mentoring relationships.
And that's coming up soon, right?
Yes, Saturday, March 29th. It will be at Georgia State University. And we're actually giving away tickets.
Oh, baby.
Yes. And so if you would like to mention that you heard about the Power Plug PR conference on Atlanta Business Radio, all you have to do is hashtag TGC PR Agency, as well as at Power Plug PR, and we'll be giving away free tickets right after the show.
Wow, good stuff. And the website's powerplugpr.com, right?
That is correct, powerplugpr.com.
And then what's the website of your agency?
That is thegarnercircle.com. That's thegarnercircle.com. We're also on Twitter. We're on Instagram. You can find us at TGC PR Agency. And as I mentioned earlier, the hashtag is also TGC PR Agency.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.